Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome into the BBP. Paul Diener Jr., Jim Ossarski, your Bengals beat writers for Cincinnati Inquirer, Cincinnati.com. God bless America. Happy 2017.
Yeah.
Happy offseason.
Yeah.
To you.
And yours. Bengals fans aren't happy.
Are they?
No,
you know what they'd
happy.
Be? You know what? If this team was in the playoffs, they'd be complaining about right now. Oh, 0-8's coming. Here comes 0-8.
Yeah, but you'd rather be worried about 0-8 than a number 9 draft pick, I think. If you're a fan of a club.
I don't know. Some of the fans that we hear from sure get real pumped about wanting to have a top 10 draft pick rather than having to talk with digest another playoff loss. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I could see that maybe. Like if you're going to pick 21 to 24 for 5 straight years or get a top 10 pick, at least it's something different.
It is something different. Can I tell you, I've been re-energized a little bit by this.
Mock draft?
Stop!
Oh, sorry.
There will be mock drafts. I'm even now comfortable talking about the draft. Not specifically about players, but the Bengals, because I don't know the players yet. I'm like Marv. I don't know any of these players. I'm starting the process of diving into these players here in a little bit. You're getting into that.
Right.
But I'm comfortable talking about the draft. We're not to talk about it now. We're not doing mock drafts yet. But I'm comfortable talking about it because it's the offseason is different. That's why I think there's some invigoration from our standpoint and maybe even from a fan standpoint of this is just going to be different than it has been. It's just been so monotonous. I just think it gave the stale feeling to fans and maybe to players.
Yeah, it was strange. I was talking to our esteemed baseball colleague and sometimes Bengals partner, C. Trent Rosecrans, about this, that football, it's weird to me, at least in the years that I've covered the game, that like that a football team had so many Groundhog Day moments throughout a year.
Yeah.
And we were saying, like, for him, baseball happens all the time. It's 162 games.
Every day is Groundhog Day.
If your bullpen's terrible, like, it's the same. Like, for football, it was so strange, Paul, to see. It's like the same issues from week 4 to week 12 and 13. Like, it was the same stuff. And then, obviously, some things carried from week 1 to 16.
Yeah.
That was weird. So it was monotonous.
It was
strange.
And this season was monotonous, but the last 5 years have been monotonous. I just think that's why this offseason will be different. You will have a lot more draft talk because you're going to have 11 picks. You're going to have the McCarron trade hanging out there. We'll see what happens with coaches. And there's a lot of – everyone's on the hook for this one. So any move that's made, you can rationalize. Whereas in the past, it was hard to rationalize because all it was 5 years of fighting the they made the playoffs.
Right.
So you can't change too much.
Yeah.
But they didn't win. What do you want to do? Change something that's been winning? My God. How do I got to keep talking about this?
Right.
Now everyone's on the hook.
Yeah.
Everyone's on the hook for this, and it's going to be an infusion of youth like we haven't seen here since the reboot.
Yeah, and I think that's the – and honestly, I mean, there was quite a bit of coaching turnover a year ago. But frankly, I mean, Hugh Jackson was a personality, and you know, fans are upset that he left to win one game this year and get the number one pick.
And the 12th pick.
Yeah, they were, you know. But in reality, you're right, Paul. Like, coaching changes aren't really sexy unless it's the head coach and it's a full reboot. So once we got through this kind of bogus retirement stuff with Marvin, and we knew Mike Brown wasn't going to fire him, you know, you're right. Draft picks, players are sexy. Free agents are sexy. Trades are sexy. AJ McCarron guy getting all fired up is, you know, while I find it highly irritating, it's a legit storyline this offseason, at least. Yep. So you're right. It's different.
All right. Let's go through some of them, shall we?
Sure.
Shall we? First of all, player locker cleanout day happened on Monday, and lots of stuff comes out of that. So there's lots of little nuggets that we're going to try to get to here. We're going to get to AJ McCarron, who is ready for a trade.
Yeah, he's ready.
He's ready. We're going to get to parsing through the tea leaves on Ken Zampezi's future, which is uncertain. We are going to talk about Tyler Eifert, who we talked to for the first time since he had his surgery, about where he's at and his exhaustion. AJ Green addressed his supposed displeasure and everything that went down in Houston. We'll get to that. We've got kicker stuff. We've got Marvin talking about whether he does or doesn't need an extension. We've got the offensive line. What is that going to look like? There's a lot out there. We'll see how much we can get to in our normal time allotment. What we don't worry. Every week, BBP will be here with you throughout the offseason. So we'll continue to get to all of that. And keep checking Cincinnati.com. We got lots of pieces on all of these items that we're talking about coming up over the next weeks and days. So make sure you keep that locked. Make sure you have that Bengals app where we'll fire off to you. We'll buzz you when we write all of our takes on these stories. Let's start with Ken Zampezi's future. It's probably the thing that I'm now getting most asked about in the aftermath of this season, just because he obviously had a hard time in his first year as a coordinator, and he came in with the stigma of a guy who was passed over twice having to follow Hugh Jackson.
Right.
Probably the most – him and Zimmer are close for the two most beloved assistants in this franchise's history, certainly under Marvin Lewis. We need to parse through what Marvin Lewis – Marvin spent 30 minutes on the podium on Monday, and I think we all – we're trying to read what he was saying to answers about why the offense was struggling. And, I don't know that we definitely don't have a clear one. The only clear answer we got was, I'm not talking about any possible coaching changes here.
Right.
We're going to evaluate that.
Yeah.
There may be none. There may be some.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, the thing that was interesting to me, Paul, was he acknowledged, and he has acknowledged for the last few weeks, overall lack of scoring. Consistent lack of second half, fourth quarter scoring. Now, he also put that on the defense, too, by, in my opinion, by saying we lose the fourth quarter, meaning they give up more points than they... So I think, you know, which was the case against Baltimore even at last game. But then he also said it's not an X's and O's issue.
Right.
On offense. And he said, we've moved the ball, which up until Houston, and I know we can take numbers for what they're worth, this was a top 10 offense for most of the year, even when AJ and Gio went down. You know, so I'm curious to see what evaluation is. Is it, we didn't have, you know, Tyler Eifert played 8 games, AJ played 9 in 2 snaps. Gio played 10. This O-line, right tackle was a disaster. Bowling had surgery. He had he told me, Paul, that that scope basically corrected a few things. AC joint was tightened up. Labrum was repaired. There was another muscle, which he couldn't remember the name of it. That muscle was... So basically, your left guard was, you know, in a whole lot of pain and... largely ineffective a lot of times since Miami, you know. I'm curious, just as you are, as what does evaluation mean?
Well, you know, we've heard a lot, and we heard a lot more today. Was coaches have to be able to pull it out of the players.
Yeah.
So coaching and being a coordinator is not just X's and O's,
right?
It's the Jimmys and the Joes. But you know, it's motivation. It's knowing how to get the most out of guys. That's right. What Hugh Jackson was incredible at.
Right.
It's what I mean. That's why he's a head coach right now. Zimmer too, and Zimmer would have all kinds of problems. Geno Atkins and Leon Hall in their prime went down in 2013. The defense somehow got better.
Yeah.
Okay. You find ways, and you get other guys to play above what they think their means are. And this team had a few obstacles thrown at it, a lot of what you mentioned.
Right.
And could not find ways for anybody to play better, to get other guys to believe that they can, and to get this team to follow him. And whether it's inventing a game plan that has more chips to help the right tackle out, or something that gives an assist to left guard, or finding a way to get more out of your other receivers, or going to the young guys early. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, here,
let me interject.
What I'm curious about then, Paul, is does this drift into assistant head coach / offensive line coach Paul Alexander? Paul Alexander's been here a long time.
Yes.
They've done the same thing for a long time. These are his guys. Ken Zampezi is a first-year coordinator. They've been, now granted, him and Paul have been on the staff together for 13 years. You would think they know each other, that they have some sort of relationship. But now, kind of Ken's the boss.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that. I mean, a lot of these things you just mentioned, to me, here's the thing, and I'm engaging in this debate because I agree with you on some things, but I guess want to present all sides. I mean, Marvin says Andy Dalton had his best year. I think I would agree with that. A.J. Green was en route to his best year. A.J. told me midseason he thought Ken did the best job of any coordinator's had in giving him different options, different ways to be open to beat coverages. Tyler Eifert, I think, is just such a wash. I mean, C.J. Uzomah early was open but wasn't good. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the thing for me, Paul, is where does it start? Is it can you hang it strictly on the head of one guy, which that's the coordinator? That's what comes with that title,
that's
understand.
That's what comes with that title.
Or in this evaluation, is it a broader look? Mm-hmm. And saying, wow, in a 5-win season we scored 18 points a game, is it sort of a combination of all these things? And were there some internal things where it was like, look, because we did see those chips later. In Houston, now Cedric Wade didn't really, there still were the two sacks, but Ryan Hewitt was in. Eric Winston was eligible to his side. Rex Burkhead, now you could argue it was too little too late.
Yeah.
But So I guess that's where I'm curious about where Marvin's going to go with this and what all he takes into account outside of injury.
Well, we know that he said we need a jump in our offense in response to a question about are coaches the same as players in a jump from your first to your second year. And he said we need a jump. He snapped that one off immediately.
Really, there's only two guys. Well, offensively, there's only two guys with that. Bill Lazor and Ken Zampezi.
Offensively, and it ain't Bill Lazor.
Right.
I mean,
I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying.
And that's fine.
Right.
The bottom line is we don't know what this conversation is like between Marvin Lewis and Mike about the coaching staff.
Right.
We know there's dissatisfaction because that's apparent.
I mean, there
has to be after the performance of this year, and particularly with the offense when the defense evolved as it did.
Right.
And we heard about how good special teams, minus kicking,
right,
how good special teams were, not allowing a single return touchdown all year.
Right. Alex Erickson got better.
Alex Erickson led the AFC in returns.
Right.
And they didn't allow any kick returns for scores all year. The kicker debacle is what it is.
Yeah.
So that it leaves the clear target.
Right.
But what do you do? Do you restart with whoever? Or do you believe that Ken Zampezi can take a jump as a motivator if X's and O's aren't the problem? And some of the stuff you mentioned, do you believe that he can take the step out of getting it out of people? Well, we'll find out this month.
Yeah, make no mistake for BBP listeners, what you said there to start that was Marvin and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Marvin Lewis is the head coach. Mike Brown's involved.
Absolutely.
With coaches. And I would say, as we talk about drafting and personnel, other than maybe agreeing to the final dollar amount on a contract, Paul, this is my second offseason with coaches turnarounds. Mike is involved with Mike. To me, Mike is probably more involved with the firing and letting go of coaches than he is with who we're drafting number 9 and who we're drafting number 87.
He's turned much of player personnel over to Duke.
Yeah. But the coaching thing,
it's personal. Especially here because he's so loyal to his people that have been here for decades. They didn't want to do it to him. And other guys as well.
Right.
And it took until the 2010 debacle to really make that happen.
And maybe the expiration of contracts. And it's not and I'm not drifting into the Mike doesn't want to pay two coaches for one job thing. But I think that's part of that patience level.
Yeah.
Like, you're under contract. This was like the whole thing with Marvin. Marvin's under contract.
Mm-hmm.
So the only time Ken Zampezi was allowed to interview for OC jobs in the recent past was before he signed new deals to stay on as quarterback's coach. The only time Vance Joseph was allowed to get a job, contracts had to be expiring.
And there are two-way streets. He views them as two-way streets, which is great for players.
Right.
And as rare as it can get in the NFL. And he views those as much on the players. There are two names on that contract, and it goes both ways. I will honor your side, you honor my side. And for the most part, he sticks by that.
Yeah. So that could be – I'm curious. You're right, Paul. This is the biggest question, you know, obviously outside of player – you know. I don't know. You're right. I guess the more we've talked about this, I thought maybe some of the player personnel stuff. But you're right. I think how this goes down will be the more interesting. And the funny thing is, Paul, if nothing happens – I'll be catching up with Ken over a bagel and a black coffee in Mobile, Alabama.
Right back where you were last year.
And that'll be the first time that we get a chance to really, you know, maybe break that down.
Break that down. Or you could end up like Bob Rutkowski and still have to coach the Senior Bowl and then come back and get fired.
I guess that's also possible.
Also a possibility. So that's
why are you gonna do that to me?
Boy, it's sad. I don't know if this is an indictment on us. That's maybe as brief as we can be in trying to break down the Zampezi issue where it stands right now. I mean, I was 18. We're at 18 minutes into this baby, and there's just a lot happening.
There's a lot happening there.
And what I'm saying is, A, we don't know because we're not privy to conversations that haven't happened yet.
Yeah, they have not happened.
And they're not going to tell us. It will happen as a shot in the dark. We're going to do our best to stay after it, obviously. I'm telling you, there's a chance. It is not 100% either way, for sure.
Yeah.
Knowing the history of the organization, I'd put it definitely leaning, you know, the percentages.
Like 70-30?
70-30 that he stays, because knowing the history of the organization.
Yeah.
A coordinator only lasting 1 year is not something that Mike Brown has really ever done.
Right.
So, but I'm saying there's a chance, as far as we know. So we'll see how that all plays out. Let's move on to a question that we'll probably spend a lot of time talking about this offseason, and that's A.J. McCarron and what will become of him with the Bengals or elsewhere.
Do you mean we're about to break A.J. McCarron guy's heart?
No, because A.J. McCarron guy, I guess, would just become a fan of whatever team he gets traded to, right?
Since yes, please go.
Ever.
Please leave.
Please. We do not want you here. A.J. McCarron guy that can't see the difference between 5 and 14. Garbage bags slung over his shoulder full of his stuff, leaving, sounding a whole lot like a guy that's assuming that he's going to get traded after hearing his exit interview. So, A.J. McCarron.
I mean, there's nothing you can control but the talks out there about a possible trade. How hard is it to keep that out of your mind?
Well, I mean, now it's nothing. I mean, like you said, nothing I can do. So, I try not to worry about it. I mean, you're always going to think about it. I'd be lying, you know, whoever told you that I wouldn't. I mean, or if they were going through the same situation, I mean, you're going to think about it. So, because you want to play as a competitor, but I let my agent handle everything and, you know, go with whatever he says. So,
something you almost, I mean, you would look forward to it because it would mean you'd be playing somewhere. I assume so. That's something you probably wouldn't be. You wouldn't be distraught over.
No, I mean, I definitely wouldn't be distraught at all. But like I told Marvin and all my coaches during my exit meetings, you know, I appreciate everybody in this organization. I really do, from the bottom of my heart. They gave me a chance when a lot of people wouldn't, and they've all treated me unbelievably, and I really do care for every one of them and respect all of them. And this place will always, you know, have a special place in my heart just for what they've done for me, and I really appreciate it.
Kind of talk like you expect it more to happen now. What's the difference between now and last offseason? What's the feeling here?
I think, you know, going into contract situation, it's part of it. So, last year it's a whole different situation. So, like I said, just I'm gonna go with whatever my agent says, and then go from there.
When Jeff O'Driscoll was on the 53 all year, has that kind of been like a signal to you that like they're. You can see the plot of their future at the position of how if they did deal you leaving themselves something there. Or I mean, did you not view that in that way at all?
No, I mean, it's hard too. I mean, I understand. You know, I mean, as a quarterback, you understand that something might be happening, and they're trying to find somebody that they're possibly comfortable with. But I mean, you never know.
So, yeah.
Especially during the season, I don't ever think about those things. I just don't put my mind on it.
Yeah.
You can drive yourself crazy in this business, always wondering, because think of the parts you know that are moving, and then if you really think about it, the parts you don't know that are really moving behind the scenes, you can really mess yourself up. So I just don't pay attention to it. Really.
You're like, I just want to play.
Yeah.
Would it surprise you if you were back here on April 24th or whatever the first day of OTAs is? Or,
I don't know. Like I said, the coaches know. Marvin knows how big of a competitor I am, and I want a chance to play. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Things I can't control. So I'm not going to put any what Zamp likes to say, mental units on that, and because it's out of my hands. So just
mental units.
I don't know. He always says so. Like before a play happens, a quarterback has 10 mental units. So you got you're using 3 for, you know, what is the defense doing? You're using 2 for what are your guys doing? So now you're down to 5 mental units.
Can you buy extra?
Yeah.
I think I used my last one.
I was wondering, did those units roll over like minutes back in the day? From play to play, so now roll I actually units. Have 15?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, Mac.
That's funny.
But we were saying good. He was giving hugs.
Yeah.
It was hugs and hand pounds time.
Yep.
It was. It's been great.
It's been real.
This is a guy who just had his exit interview. Sure, it didn't sound like a guy that heard from his staff that we'll see you in April.
Be ready.
Or we'll see you in spring training, in training camp.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't know about Jeff Driscoll. But we do know this, that there is value in A.J. McCarron for a draft, whether it's picks this year or next year, or combining them to move up,
right?
Where you already have 11 picks. I mean, if you can combine A.J. McCarron and a pick to move up into this higher in the second round or far back of the first or whatever the hell it is,
let's go crazy, folks.
Let's get crazy, or whatever it is that you're interested in doing in this draft, where you have a lot of flexibility. That's where his value lies now. Now, how will they approach that? there's a lot of different tactics. But what we heard from AJ McCarron, it's apparent for him, he's a competitor and wants to play.
Yep.
The Bengals like to do right by people like that, particularly people that have been great to them, as AJ McCarron has. And, you know, for a team that needs pieces all over the place, it makes sense to convert your clear backup. If you don't believe Jeff, if you see enough of Jeff Driscoll, he understands it, he can come in, or you could snag a veteran guy now that you can ship that off, a piece that AJ McCarron played like four snaps all year. It basically had this value there that you could have added a second or third round pick or whatever it is, and a guy just sits there. That's where it's gonna happen.
Yeah, let's real quick walk people through this. So obviously there was the McCarron fervor from a year ago.
Yeah.
The birth of McCarron guy. Not the birth, because that started at the beginning, but you know. The Bengals asked, if you weren't calling the Cincinnati Bengals with a number one on the table prior to the season, they were gonna say, thanks for the call. See you later. They had every right to do that. They had an established backup quarterback on a team that had Super Bowl aspirations. So there was a non-starter. Nobody, and I'll tell you this right now, and I believe I've said this before, but nobody called the Bengals to try to trade for AJ McCarron.
Right.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So now here we are. 1 year left on his deal. He's going to make $735,000. I think the market's changed a little bit. You know, when you see a lot of issues and backup issues and starting issues around the league, I mean, and I guess that's always the case, but new head coaches, and now it's a little more dire, as you said, with 1 year left on his deal. And what I'm curious, Paul, is AJ has comported himself with class. The last asked a lot of hard questions, answered them all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'd be a problem next training camp, but I think you'd have a really unhappy dude if he was walking back in here for voluntary workouts
as
a
backup
and having to go through the show of playing like 12 preseason snaps, and then it's Jeff Driscoll for quarters 2-3. Now that's legitimate out on the Bengals end. Because
mm-hmm.
why would you want to trade AJ when you have no idea who this other dude is, if he can even play in a game? So I get both sides. So that'll be really interesting.
And there's different schools of thought to how you would approach it. You got to find a time where there's a need.
Yeah.
And the time when there is a need is not necessarily before the draft.
Right.
Because guys are going to think that they're going to go, they can go find an AJ McCarron in the draft. I mean, he was a fifth round draft pick after all. What about after the draft? What about in camp? What if the Sam Bradford situation pops back up again, and there's AJ McCarron sitting there again, who can come in as somebody? You know, I don't know how fair that is to anybody.
Right.
I'm sure AJ,
and that's thinking a catastrophic injury might happen to a contender. You know what I mean? Yeah, so that's...
Quarterback injuries happen. Yeah. I mean, that's how the last quarterback trade happened here.
Right.
With Carson Palmer, obviously. We're talking about a whole different monster there. We're talking about value. What could they actually get for AJ McCarron?
To the right mid-round team?
What?
I think it's mid-round.
Yeah. If they could get a 3...
I'd jump on it.
If you could trade AJ McCarron to Hugh Jackson... For their third round pick, which is the first overall pick in the third round. Hello.
Yeah, ain't gonna happen though. Hugh J didn't trade for him to begin with. I think that says all you need to know. They had a crap ton of picks this past year and a need for a quarterback, and they're like, nah. And they're gonna have another boatload of picks and can do whatever they want in the top three rounds.
That's my point. They have another boatload of picks as well. I mean, what if they don't think that there is a franchise quarterback? Are they gonna go forward with Cody Kessler, or would they bring a guy like McCarron in as competition, a guy Hugh loves,
yeah,
who could come in and upgrade the position of me and maybe be that guy, and you pay him next to nothing, and then he goes off into free agency, or you sign him because you thought he was the real deal.
Right.
That's a better deal. I'd rather have that than RG3.
Yeah, I'm curious. Yeah, Cleveland will always kind of hang out there, and so will, you know, Zim to an extent, because not like Sam Brad. I mean, that kind of blew up in his face. Not just him, but Rick Spielman.
Yeah.
You know, but Bradford's on the hook for a lot of money out there, and whatever. I don't know. I think it's a mid-round pick. I get the school of thought of, we know AJ, we need to see if Driscoll can play. I don't believe in that, Paul. I think the time to strike with that is before the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I know they got a butt ton of picks and whatever, and the comp picks, and even if the best offer is a fourth rounder, I think, and the reason I say that, Paul, is because this team still think Marvin Lewis said that. He ended his press conference saying, we have AJ, Geno, and Andy in their prime, ready.
Yeah.
This is still a team that thinks they can go to the Super Bowl in 2017. So, to me, that means get another pick for this year or trade up or whatever it's going to be, and sort of force the hand of the coaching staff in a way of like, okay, here's an infusion of first and second and third, fourth round guys that we need to play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just, you know, waiting for something for 2018 is, I know that's part of the business, but, you know, they'll have another 9 picks in 2018. I don't know. I guess it's just like strike while the iron's hot, and it's not going to be hotter, in my opinion, than before April.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the other hand is, like you said, who knows if Jeff Driscoll can even play? But you can always go get some sort of vet that you can throw in there.
To me,
be a
I think that's the best. I think
guy. That's
the best option.
If you have if there's value in a dude that doesn't play for you, you've got to cash in on that. Particularly when you're trying to do some sort of reformation of your roster,
right?
Of one that won 6 games this past year. All right, let's flip it forward here. We talked to Tyler Eifert for the first time since his back surgery, and he'll be fine is, I guess, the biggest thing in his mind, and appears to be, I mean, he laughed at the idea that he wouldn't be ready for training camp.
Yeah.
He's like, I better be. I mean, geez. I mean, I think he has the expectation that he'll be back around in the spring and doing stuff for the most part. They went into his back. They fixed it. You know, it blew up on him sort of after that Pittsburgh game. It just really flared up, and they needed to go in, and they nipped it in the bud, it sounds like. I want to bring the audio of the conversation with Tyler. He was also on his way out the door, and we caught him out in the loading docks outside of the locker room. And just tell me, you know, just kind of soak in the tone of Tyler Eifert here.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You don't want to end it coming off surgery. I guess that's kind of the way you look at this year. It's just kind of a frustrating thing as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to end the season and be able to enjoy it. I mean, enjoy the off season, but I'll spend another one rehabbing and come back ready to go next year.
What's the outlook off this surgery? Have they given you any feel for, you know, what you'll be able to do this off season, or?
Not really. I got to see the doctor again in a couple days. But yeah, the rehab, I can't do a whole lot right now with your back. You just gotta walking is the rehab. So I mean, I'll be here for most of it probably.
Yeah. So there's no in jeopardy of next year or anything like that. Theoretically, assuming everything goes as it should.
No, yeah, it'll be fine here sooner than not.
Yeah.
Was it one of those things where you knew you were gonna need it eventually, or was it a surprise when they said, hey, we're gonna need surgery?
I thought I would probably need it at some point in my life, but I didn't think at the end of this year. But it just flared up again, and it got to the point where I couldn't continue living, really. I mean, I had to have it.
Was this connected to the one you did in practice?
Yeah.
you were pretty much fighting that all the whole time you were playing this year, I guess, right?
Yeah, a little bit, but it felt really good at times too. Mm-hmm. So, it's weird, man. It just will flare up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, like when I did it in practice, coming off my ankle injury, it just came out of nowhere. I don't know. I don't know. So.
Yeah.
And this one, I played in the Pittsburgh game. There wasn't like a. It wasn't a play. It wasn't a hit. It started bothering me the day before the game, but it wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
It just got worse and worse.
Sucks.
It was the day after the game when it really...
Yeah, not even then. It was the next day.
Yeah.
So.
Tyler, sorry, I'm sure they just asked this, but was it like a continuation of the same back injury?
Yeah, it's from the same...
Yeah. Just play it back up?
Yep.
And it's something that, had you guys been in the race, you couldn't have played through it anyhow?
No.
Thanks. What are your plans now?
Rehab.
Where?
Probably here, but I don't know yet.
You get that down pat, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Got my routine down.
Must be very frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, it can be, but there's nothing I can do, so... just deal with it and move on.
I mean, do you think you'd be better for spring ball?
I don't know. I should be. I got to see the doctor again. I mean,
is that one of those things where after last year, you're kind of hesitant to really say you'll definitely be back for anything? Because you just, like you learned last year, you never know exactly how it's all going to fall out.
No, I mean, this one is problems fixed. And yeah. I'll be back.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
The first time I did it was when I hurt it the first time after my ankle. And it just
twisted a little.
I mean, it didn't twist it. I didn't. There wasn't like one thing I did. Yeah. It wasn't like I bent over and it locked up. It just.
Right. They just took it out?
A piece, essentially.
Going into a contract year, any concerns about that? You know, rehab again, coming back. I mean, I know it's guaranteed for injury and everything like that, but is that a concern at all?
No. I mean, there's nothing I can do, so I just roll with the punches. You know, I just keep going. I mean, I don't know.
Your position is just kind of the way it is. You look across the league, you kind of look around the league and say, man, this position is just, guys just go down. It's just kind of part of the deal. I mean, whether it's Gronk or Jordan Reed, I mean, you go through all of you guys. It seems like you all have been banged up the last year or two, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a position or just, I mean, we do a lot, tight ends. I mean, we got to block people bigger than us and we got to run with people faster than us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to be big and you got to be fast and, you know, take a lot of hits, take a pounding. And I mean, but everybody does in this league, so just got to be.
You did this in practice.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
You didn't get hit, right? You were making a move or something, it was a route.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Just kind of came on slowly, and before I knew it, I couldn't barely walk.
Right. So who knows how it started? I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of sounds like a guy who's just sick of this garbage. Yeah. He's just sick of having to be in rehab.
Yeah.
And talk about injuries, and stated clearly, annoyed by the idea that he's injury prone when he just feels like he's had bad breaks.
Right.
Sorry, Tyler, you're injury prone. But I get where he's coming from.
Right. Yeah, they're to me, and we've talked about this. This might even go back to conversation about Tyler this off season, where to me, injury prone is always it's like a soft tissue thing, is hamstrings and calves and because football allows for sort of catastrophic, unpredictable injury. And to me, that's what he's had up until this point. The back is wear and tear. The back is, especially discs. I mean, that's, either you got it good or you don't, or maybe you had it good and then it got bad. To me, back issue ventures into injury prone because, he can have this surgery and be right as rain and never appear in an injury report for the next 8 years of his career with a back issue. Or it becomes every week, 3 games a year, a Gronk situation where it's multiple surgeries and whatever. You mentioned this, I think it was like a week ago, right? Where it's like Marvin Lewis talked about, well, back, you know, sometimes it's pain tolerance and sometimes you, I mean, that's a, you know, wow. Especially
the thought,
in
the thought is surgery erases that, though.
That's the hope.
But backs can be weird.
Yeah.
You start going in there. But, I mean, the expectation is that it's no big deal, but the expectation was also that his ankle would be no big deal last year.
Yeah. You know, I guess the only silver lining, if there is one for Bengals fans, is he had 2 weeks to rest, quote-unquote, and then it's still determined, let's just get this done now, as opposed to the rest the ankle for January, February, March, April, May, and then have the surgery and then miss five games.
Opting for surgery immediately. Bengals fans, I'm sure, feeling better about that.
Contract situation might have something to do with that, too.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what will happen with that. That'll be one. I mean, that's one that would have come up. It's going to come up in camp anyway.
Yeah.
For the most part, that's when those conversations will heat up.
Right.
And we'll get to that then, because who knows where both teams are going to feel about that then. Talk to AJ Green for the first time since the incident that brought league and team sources out of the water.
Right.
Everywhere. And, you know, AJ is a high road guy.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of what the truth is, you know he's going to say and do the right thing. But I tend to believe him. I tend to believe everything he's saying. I really do believe it's sort of water under the bridge. I think he even understands where it came from.
Yeah.
I'll bring you sort of, it was brief, and some of it's kind of inaudible, that's just sort of AJ sometimes. Yeah. But here's a conversation with AJ Green talking about everything that went down in Houston.
Obviously, you'd wish that the season went differently on a number of levels, but is there, only playing 9 games is probably not how you envisioned this year going?
Oh, right, definitely.
It's tough.
Just something happened like that, and just wasn't meant to be this year. I wanted to get the 1,000, but doctors know the best. I don't want to put my whole career in jeopardize just to try to go get 36 yards. It was tough, but it happens. Just push me even to work even harder next year, and then start from there.
I guess there was thought that you were frustrated, and you kind of said, that was not the case?
No, that was not true. I was upset that I couldn't play because I wanted to play. But I one thing I do believe in is doctors here and the coaches, and they know what's best for me even when I'm not thinking right. And I sat down with Doc and Coach Lewis, and the best decision was not to play because my high risk of hurting it again and have to get surgery. And that's definitely something I didn't want to have to do.
Were you confused at all, I guess, why you practiced that week?
No, I was, with Coach Lewis, he thought I could play, and then him and Mike had a talk, and they were going back and forth with that, and it just came down to that day. So,
how much were you able to push it physically to the point where it felt, at least in your mind, it felt okay?
I pushed it all the way. I didn't feel any kind of pain, no kind of fatigue on it. But the only thing they worry about, people hanging on me, and so I didn't have that. So that's the only thing they worry about.
I guess the only really part of frustration was going all the way to Houston, right? Was that kind of the thing? Like, why couldn't we do this before we left?
Right. That was the only thing. But like I said, Coach Lewis playing was before me to play limited snaps, and then him and Mike Brown talked it out. And,
came to the decision that I didn't need to play at all. So, had that been a game in November, would you have stayed? I mean, was it the fact that it was Christmas Eve and you wanted to be with the family? And
yeah, it was an 8 o'clock game. I got a son at home, newborn, so I just wanted to be with them. You know, Coach Lewis allowed me to go.
It seems like you're right there close to being ready, obviously. Does that make it easy? I mean, some of these, you look like Tyler, some of these guys going into the offseason facing a lot of rehab. You don't have that.
Yeah, yeah. One thing about this hamstring is it's going to just take time to heal. I did all my rehab, and you know, I felt good. So all the time now, I'm just like, let that tendon heal another couple weeks, and I'll be fine.
Are you going to do the Pro Bowl?
No.
So I don't, you know, I hear that, and that sounds like a guy who's like, it's all good. I get it. Yeah, I wish I wasn't in Houston and I didn't have to take that flight back. But what are we really talking about now? It's all good.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
Yeah, as he said, he without a doubt was probably upset about just the circumstance. But look, and he said this from the beginning, though. He's like, look, I'm not going to try to come back to play if there's a risk of a more serious injury. And that probably was what had to be driven home to him, was like, hey, you know, maybe we thought this one thing, but in reality, that risk is greater. I believe him too. Paul, you know, we're fortunate here in Cincinnati. My opinion, I think the majority of these guys tell you the same things on the record as they do off.
Yeah.
And AJ falls into a category for sure where I don't, in 2 years being around him, on and off record conversations, I've never once been like, oh, this dude is just flat out being untruthful.
Yeah.
So I do believe him.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. And I think he was mad about it probably initially. Like, especially when Marvin was clearly telling him, you're going to play. Because that was his opinion as the coach who normally makes those decisions.
Yeah.
And then he usually makes those decisions when it's not a guy who makes $60 million. Then ownership can step in and be like, wait a second.
Yes.
Like, I mean, let's hold on here.
Right.
Before we go making those types of calls, I would like to have a say in this guy that I'm paying $60 million to. If the doctors are saying there's a chance, if a guy grabs and tugs on him and throws him to the ground, that you could have something that can come up and make it worse.
Especially
all for 36 yards.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's really what it was.
The best way to think about it was this, is even A.J. Green catches the Brandon LaFell pass. You know A.J.'s trying to go 86 yards to the house.
Yep.
And if that hammy grabs.
Or he gets, or he pulls, gets grabbed
and then
from
he
behind.
Gets drilled.
And he gets hit from behind, gets pulled on from behind.
Oh, yeah, it's not.
Right. And how hot. Yeah, that's a fireable offense.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if you were Marvin and you were out there saying, this guy needs to play, I want him to play, and partially it was about 36 yards, and he goes out there and has a catastrophic injury
that might require surgery.
That maybe does rip it off the bone or require surgery or it's an aggravation. That's a fireable offense, you know?
Yeah.
And that's all. It's negligent. And so I side with Mike on that.
Yeah.
And it's obviously so much was a matter of how it all went down. Well, we did a good job covering some ground here.
Yeah.
We covered a lot of it. We couldn't get to all of it. We got plenty of time.
Yeah.
We're gonna get to a lot of this stuff as we get going. Like I said, keep an eye on Cincinnati.com. Keep an eye on our Bengals app because we'll be running through. We're gonna kinda go through. Thank you to all of you that sent your questions on Twitter. Keep firing them away with hashtag BBP on the end of them to us. And we're going to try to get to as many of them as we can. We're going to have a line of questions that we're going to go through for you on the site here in the coming weeks. And obviously, we'll keep trying to get them to you, get to them on Twitter or whatever. Keep them in mind as we compile everything and write our stories heading into the offseason. We'll be back with the BBP again next week. And then Mobile for you for the Senior Bowl in a couple of weeks. Super Bowl for me for a week at the beginning of February. We'll have you guys covered all over wherever the Bengals are.
Yeah,
even where some places the Bengals aren't, we'll be there, bringing you all the news. So we got to go out. I think I got one.
Okay,
and it's fitting since it's our last in season-ish type of it's season's over now. we've had this Rocky IV thing going on all yeah. year, you know. And you know, I feel like we are now at the part of the season where it's the end. It's the end, and Rocky grabs the mic.
Yeah.
In Russia.
He does. It's a moment.
If I can change, you can change. Everyone can change. I feel like that's where we're at right now, except there's a chance that nothing will change.
Yeah.
We're asking you to change. Maybe Marvin Lewis and this team will change now that they've seen the error of their ways. Regardless, change is coming.
Yeah.
And it's time to change. And in honor of Rocky IV, when you're down in a season like this, there's no easy way out.
There isn't.
There's no shortcut home, okay?
No.
So and it is one of the great montage songs of all time from Rocky IV. So it just feels like a fitting way to end this bit of the season here.
I'm going to break some treadmills now.
Oh, dude. This is the finisher for you. I'm going to let the whole song play out. You just keep running. Sprint to the end. Act like you see Drago. Drago's on the treadmill. He's the machine. He's all hooked up to everything. He's punching everything. Meanwhile, Rocky's like kicking meat and doing push-ups and running in the snow up the hills.
Mountains,
not hills. No. Hills that led to mountains.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. This is what we give to you because we care about you here on the BBP. All right. Robert Tepper, take us out.
Take us home.
Take us home. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the BBP, and we'll talk to you soon.
Not knowing if we did or lied, or something.